Life is about making yourself better. It doesn't matter what you do. You could be an athlete, an artist, a gamer. It doesn't matter. All of us want to be the best version of ourselves. That's what we are here for. We talk to students in leadership positions who have achieved great things, but who are just here working to get better. Because here, we discuss how to be better as people. Here, Swole is the goal. Welcome to the Swole is the Goal podcast, Season 2, Episode 9. A wise man named Conor McGregor once said, "The more you seek the uncomfortable, the more you will become comfortable." You've probably heard the quote, "Get comfortable with being uncomfortable." Shailene Johnson has said, "Get uncomfortable being uncomfortable. That's how you break the plateau and reach the next level." So, today we're going to talk about getting uncomfortable. How to get uncomfortable every day. How to reap the benefits of being uncomfortable. Because you can be uncomfortable and not get any benefits. That's very possible, depending on what you're doing. Punching yourself in the face is probably uncomfortable, but you're probably not going to see too many benefits from that. Another quote by St. John is, "I don't know how to be comfortable. Comfort is uncomfortable to me, so I push myself to new places." Because another thing that Liver King has said is, "Comfort is not good for the organism," which is very true. If you're at a state of comfort for too long, that's when you get lazy and that's when you don't see any improvement. If I go to the gym and I'm comfortable the whole time, I'm doing workouts that aren't going to be effective or aren't hurting, I'm not pushing myself at all, I'm not going to see the benefits that I want to see, you know? It's common sense, really. So we'll be taking a look at an article from behavioral scientists called "Get Comfortable with Feeling Uncomfortable." So digging in here, the famous Chicago improvisational club, The Second City, is known for launching the careers of Tina Fey, Stephen Colbert, and Steve Carell. It also offers classes for the rest of us. In my first class there, I participated in a give focus group exercise. One person had to move around the room in some interesting ways, maybe dancing, hopping, or acting, while the rest of the group was frozen in place. At any point, the person could pass the focus to someone else, who would then entertain the frozen crowd before passing the focus again until everyone got their turn. This exercise is designed to build confidence in performance skills, yet I mainly felt embarrassed and uncomfortable, as it is often the case when that happens. I wanted that discomfort to end. What I didn't realize was the feeling uncomfortable was a sign that the exercise was working. And that if I actively sought that uncomfortable feeling rather than trying to avoid it, I would have learned more. So, this exercise, obviously not something that a lot of these listeners are going to be doing, but improv. Everyone's frozen while you're just dancing around in a circle by yourself, prancing and hopping and whatever. That's pretty embarrassing. That's pretty uncomfortable. But a lot of times, when you do something that's uncomfortable, you're going to see effects in the opposite direction. So, if I'm dancing around and being embarrassed, that's going to strengthen my actual confidence. If I'm hurting my bicep doing a bicep curl, my bicep's going to get stronger. So, continuing on the article, Caitlin Woodley and I recently investigated the effects of seeking and embracing discomfort in improv, as well as other areas of personal growth. Those we invited to seek discomfort achieved more. They took risks in improv classes, engaged more in an expressive writing exercise, and when facing new and uncomfortable information, they opened themselves to it. So already we're seeing some of the benefits that being uncomfortable can lead to. But how? How does you dancing around make you actually more comfortable with that? How does that give you more confidence? How does that strengthen your mind? Well, here's what they have to say. What I didn't realize was that feeling uncomfortable was a sign that the exercise was working, and that if I actively sought that uncomfortable feeling rather than trying to avoid it, I would have learned more. So embrace the uncomfortable feeling, whatever that is in your mind at the moment or in your body. It could be a mental or a physical thing. So discomfort often serves as a signal to stop whatever you're doing. When you experience physical pain, you stop exercising. When you feel emotional pain, you withdraw from that experience. Because we have this intuitive response, discomfort is often a bad sign for self-growth. So, do you stop when it feels uncomfortable? If you're running really fast and your legs start to hurt and you're can't catch your breath, or you're doing something that makes you sad, or does that just cause you to stop? Because you think, oh, this is not good for my own personal growth. I can't keep hurting myself. Well, you would be wrong, because discomfort is where you find growth. Don't be avoiding it. That's the worst thing you can do, is avoiding the discomfort. In weightlifting, there's something called hypertrophy. And I'm not going to get into all the science of this, but basically that means to where you're growing more muscle cells through time under tension. So that's the time that you experience the pain of the movement. So if I'm doing squats, that would be doing either a high number of squats or a number of squats at a intensity to where it is hurting. That is where you see the most growth and the most muscle growth. So why can't that be applied to other things? If you're going through it mentally, you don't feel motivated to get up every day. Getting out of bed is a struggle. If you feel that you are struggling just to get through a day, because you don't want to have to worry about any of this. You just want to sit down and relax. Let it all go. You don't want to do the uncomfortable stuff. Then your mind is going to become accustomed to that. Your body's going to become accustomed to that. You need to push past what you want to do and do what needs to be done. Because once you're sitting around on a couch for too long and you're accustomed to that, that's when your body's going to want to get up, because it's not used to that and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt more than it would if you were just to get up off the couch and get going every single day. And trust me, that pays off. You hear hard work pays off all the time. It doesn't pay off all the time. Just not in the way that you think. I believe that hard work will always pay off, just not in the way that you might anticipate it to. For instance, if I want to work really hard, I could make the NFL. Well, I work really hard, that doesn't happen. I still received major benefits. I'm still a really healthy person. I still have a lot to go. I built work ethic. I've built adversity for myself to continue off into the rest of my life. It's about realizing where you win when you work hard. Where does it pay off? Because very few times probably does everything work out the way that you want it to. You have to realize how it works out in your life. For instance, this football season for me, my team did not do as well as we hoped we would have. Sure, we worked hard, but why did we not, win the state championship? Well, other teams worked harder. Other teams got lucky. Other teams beat us in situations where we were caught lacking. And where did that hard work pay off? Well, it built us mentally. We got mentally stronger from that. We've built resilience. We've built adversity. We've built something that we can carry on to the rest of our lives. So anyway, went off on a little bit of a rant there, but getting back to the uncomfortable thing. So, like we said, discomfort is often a bad sign for self-growth because we have this intuitive response built in. That's not incorrect by any means. We as humans avoid discomfort. That's why we have pain built into our brains. If we knew that working out was good for us, then it would feel so good as we're doing it. But it doesn't, because it hurts. You have to push yourself to go beyond those boundaries. That's why your brain sends that little signal to your muscles or wherever it is that, oh, this is bad, I need to stop doing this.
On the article, it says, however, discomfort is expected when taking on new challenges. Okay, well, I would somewhat disagree with that, because sometimes when people take things on, they're like, this is going to be fun, and then it ends up being really hard, and then they quit. Like when people first decide to go to the gym, they're like, okay, I'm going to get better, and they're ignoring the fact that it's going to hurt really, really bad to get better. So I think it says discomfort is expected. I think it should say discomfort should be expected when taking on a new challenge, because you should be prepared for whatever discomfort is to come. You shouldn't just go into something blindly thinking that's going to be really, really easy when it's in reality not. You're going to have to work for some things. So our research suggests that seeing discomfort as a sign of progress and actually seeking it out can boost your motivation in these situations. 100% agree. If you're able to recognize or able to choose to be uncomfortable, that's going to get you through it more. If you are trying to avoid it, then you're going to, the whole time, you're not going to be feeling motivated. You're not going to feel like you want to be disciplined to get this done. Seeking it out can boost your motivation in these situations. So seek that uncomfort. Find ways to get uncomfortable, and then the progress will come a lot easier. Because once you get uncomfortable, you're able to cherish comfort way more. If I sat on the couch all day long, at first, when I first lay down, oh, it's pretty comfortable, but then you're going to get bored. It's not going to feel that uncomfortable 10 hours later. But if you work out really hard, you go on a nice run, you lift some weights, by the time you come home and lay on that couch after you've succeeded, it's like, oh, I earned this. It's kind of like, well, I heard this quote on another podcast I was listening to. I believe it was the Granger Smith podcast. But he said, I'm going to butcher this, but it was something like, if it comes easy, it won't last. If it lasts, it didn't come easier. Something like that. Something like, if it's worth having, then it's not going to come easy. You have to work for that. But if it's not worth having, then it probably came pretty easy and it probably won't last. So just kind of think about that. And also realize that, look at the most cherished things in your life right now. Think about what you have that you hold on a pedestal. And think about how that thing is, why is that better than the other things in your life? Probably because you worked hard for it and you earned it. If you earned it and you worked for it, it's going to feel a lot better. Like for those people who are in a relationship. If you had to work to get into that relationship, you had to put yourself out there. You had to go on dates. You had to get outside of your comfort zone. Probably feels a lot better in a relationship than if someone just walked up to you and said, hey, I'll be your girlfriend. Hey, I'll be your boyfriend, whatever. And it's like, oh, well, nice. Came really easy. Might not last, but anyway. While a sharp physical pain is often a good reason to quit what you're doing, a moderate muscle ache is a signal you're getting in shape. Likewise, moderate emotional discomfort is a signal that you're developing as a person, and it often happens before you can detect the benefits of self-growth. So this is true also. You have to know how much discomfort is too much. But at the same time, I would be careful there, because I wouldn't recommend avoiding the extreme discomfort and having that take away from you getting the appropriate amount of discomfort. So, because I tell you, I've had injuries before that have hurt, and I've also just been hurt where, like in a weight room setting, to where it really hurt after. I couldn't walk right after doing a huge set on squats, and it was very uncomfortable, and I was feeling sharp pains, believe it, and that's no reason to quit still. So sure, sharp pains that are, you can tell is like in the joints, then yeah, you can take a break and stop. That's okay. But don't let that take away from the discomfort that you need to be seeking. And then moderate emotional discomfort is a signal that you're developing as a person. So let's relate this to what's going on right now. New Year's. A lot of people will decide to start new habits and quit old bad habits. When you're quitting those bad habits, you will be going through withdrawals that will suck. Depends what it is, but you could be feeling more anxious. You could feel on edge. You could feel, I need to go back to this thing that I've been doing. Whatever it may be in your life. And in that moment of withdrawal, in that moment of trying to become, you know, a better person and trying to put something behind you, it's not going to feel good in the moment, and it could be moderate to severe emotional pain. And during that moment, you won't be able to detect the self-growth. You won't be able to see what you're growing from out of that. You won't be able to see the benefits right away. But that's okay. That's where you need to learn to detach. Detach from your situation you're in and realize, I'm going through it right now. That's why I'm feeling this way. If you're able to pinpoint why you're feeling a certain way, then it becomes way easier to manage and way easier to deal with. Identify the root of the problem. Then you can start to see the self-growth that will come. And once it does come, you're going to realize, okay, that uncomfort paid off. I'm so happy that I stuck it out. I didn't go back to the thing that I was doing. I am set. I'm feeling good about this. I'm feeling really good about myself. So in the article, they said, we first tested this idea with our partners at the Second City Training Center. We asked hundreds of improv students to learn to lean into discomfort when they participated in the Give Focus exercise. They were specifically invited to push past their comfort zone and put themselves in situations that make them feel awkward and uncomfortable. As a comparison, other improv students were invited to develop new skills and feel themselves improving. Yet a third group of students was told to merely see if the exercise was working. So, interesting. When invited to push past your comfort zones, sure, it would make them feel awkward and uncomfortable. Improv students were invited to develop new skills and feeling themselves improving. So, you can learn to develop new skills and feel yourself improving when you're in discomfort. So, when we analyzed the video recordings of students in each of these three groups, we found that those asked to seek discomfort inhabited the focus role longer and took more risks, as judged by raters who didn't know which group people were in. For example, by jumping around rather than walking normally than those in other groups, leaning into the awkwardness allowed them to engage and develop their skills. Moving beyond improv, we next tested whether seeking discomfort would also help people to obtain the full benefits from expressive writing. So, I am not very much of a writer myself. Well, I take that back. I'm not much of an expressive writer myself, but at least not in a way to where I'm comfortable with being uncomfortable in expressive writing. I don't even know what that necessarily means. But let's read into it. So, the exercise of writing about important emotional issues in your life has long been associated with improved mental and even physical health, yet doing it is uncomfortable for most. Okay, so this makes sense. In our study, we asked some people to feel awkward and uncomfortable as they write, telling them that feeling uncomfortable was a sign that the writing is working. Other people were only asked to write. We found that when people sought to feel uncomfortable, they reported growing emotionally, developing skills, and ultimately they were more interested in repeating the writing tasks in the future. Seeking discomfort also helped people open themselves to new information. Okay, so identifying flaws is very uncomfortable for people, and now I understand what this means by getting uncomfortable in writing. It can feel really weird to put on paper and bring into the physical world the demons that you're hiding in your closet. But by getting uncomfortable, you will see the results from doing that. Whether it was information about gun violence, the health crisis, or viewpoints of those across the political divide, people who embraced discomfort were willing to engage with unwelcome information more. So that's really interesting too. Being able to be more open-minded. When you make yourself more vulnerable, you allow for other things to be able to influence you. And I think that can be a good thing or a bad thing. If you're a really closed-minded person and you're able to recognize that, first of all, props to you for being able to recognize that you're closed-minded. Because a lot of closed-minded people will just be closed-minded to the fact that they're closed-minded. So if you're able to recognize that and then be willing to open up about that and make yourself vulnerable, that's a good thing. But also, I don't think you should be making yourself too vulnerable to where it interferes with your belief system. But it is good to get an open mind to hear other opinions, not necessarily having to enforce those opinions onto your own life, but to hear other people's opinions to gain more perspective. I don't know how many times I've said that, but probably a lot. I've talked about gaining new perspective. That's why we do the deep dives. That's why we talk to as many people as we can about certain topics, which will be coming back soon, by the way. But moving on, where did we end off? Engage with unwelcome information more. Okay. In our study, we invited self-identified Democrats to read. Oh, one sec. First ever sneeze on the Swole Is the Goal podcast. Everyone give that a round of applause. In our study, we invited self-identified Democrats to read articles from Fox News and identified Republicans to read articles from the New York Times. Both Democrats and Republicans whom we asked to adopt the goal of feeling uncomfortable were more motivated to read and were more receptive of the information they disagreed with than those who were merely invited to learn the information in the articles. Interesting. So, asking someone to be uncomfortable while reading will make them read into it and understand it and be more open to the ideas. Because oftentimes, especially politically, we get so biased in our views and we get so unaccepting of the other side that we can't even engage in a conversation, which I disagree with. I think that's almost censorship in a way because we're censoring it ourselves. I think being open to conversation and being open to idea is a very important thing for human social interactions. We need to be able to have those conversations to where we can agree to disagree. Because we're not seeing a whole lot of that right now. It's my way is right, your way is wrong. And if you try to tell me otherwise, then I'm going to cancel, I'm going to block you, I'm going to deplatform you, basically, which is terrible to see. But moving on, you might only learn to love your class, workout, or new job after trying it a few times, when people can positively spin otherwise negative cues, reappraise their discomfort as a sign of achievement, those cues become more motivating. So here's what you can do to apply this to your life right now, today, as soon as possible. Go make a list of things that are uncomfortable to you. So go do that, then pinpoint the ones that you know will make you better in some way. Then realize that all of them can make you better in some way. Now, that might seem general, and you're probably going, what are you talking about, Tony? There's not every discomfort is going to make me better in some way. And while that may sound general, let me explain. If you are doing something that you think is bad or that you think is uncomfortable, that hurts you, that you think is making you worse, it's a good thing. Because even if it doesn't have any sort of physical benefit at all, it's going to make you mentally stronger. And that is the most important muscle that you need to strengthen, your mind. You hear strong body, strong mind. That's true. A good way to strengthen your mind is by building your body. But at the same time, if you have a really strong mind, it doesn't matter what your body is because you can make it whatever you want. You can do whatever you want because if you have that really strong mind, then you have resilience. You have everything you need to push past everything that's trying to shoot you down in life. And that's the most important thing that you can have. So when seeking to feel discomfort, the people in our experiments reprise those feelings as a positive cue as a sign of progress. As a result, they were more motivated to engage with the unwelcome information. To motivate self-growth, whether in school, at the gym, or at your job, it's best when you experience immediate gratification. If you loved an improv class, likely you'll come back again. But the path to self-growth often involves short-term discomfort in the service of long-term gains. You might only learn to love your class, your workout, or new job after trying it a few times. When people can positively spin otherwise negative cues, praising their discomfort as a sign of achievement, those cues become more motivating. So, like we said, we often want to experience that immediate gratification, feel that dopamine rush to the brain that feels, yes, I did it, let's go. But, like we said earlier, if it feels really good and came easy, it's not going to last. Short-term gratification usually will result in long-term discomfort. While if you put yourself in that short-term discomfort, you can experience that long-term gratification. Like we've said before, pain is temporary, but quitting is forever. Quitting will give you that short-term gratification saying, oh, I don't have to go through this anymore. Thank the Lord. A week later, you're already in regret that you quit. While the person who decided to stick it through and push through is going to be that person that's experiencing and reaping the benefits of that gratification for years to come. Finally, in this article, we hear, taken cautiously, adopting a no pain, no gain mentality. When you know something will make you feel awkward, sad, scared, or uncomfortable in the short run, can boost your motivation to stick with it until it feels right. That was by Ayelette Fishbach. So, I will now give you a couple examples of how I am making myself uncomfortable. First of all, I quit some bad habits that I've been carrying with me for a little while, and I didn't like the way that it felt. I have adopted some new habits that require some discipline for me to do, and I don't like how it felt at the beginning. For example, my new favorite thing, this is freaking awesome. I think everyone should give this a try. Extreme temperature exposure. So, saunas, ice baths, that's basically it. And the benefits of it have been outstanding. And some of them I won't see for a really long time, but it's going to be worth it that I did do these things to get those benefits. So, let's look into this now. This is an article from, article is called The Benefits of Cold Showers and Extreme Temperature Exposure. So cold showers is kind of the starting point for this, but now I'm doing ice baths, cold plunges, saunas, all that stuff. So this is written from somewhere in the Midwest. Here in the Midwest, winter is definitely upon us, and the cold weather will not be going away anytime soon. Most people do not enjoy this weather and prefer to hibernate inside during the colder months, sipping on warm drinks by the fire or taking a hot bath. The last thing they want to do is take a cold shower and embrace the cold in other ways. Today, I want to talk to you about the benefits of embracing the cold weather and engaging in extreme temperature exposures. You may be surprised to learn that practices like taking a cold shower may have health benefits, many health benefits. I invite you to come into this discussion with an open mind, no matter how much you would prefer to live in a sunny, warm climate year-round. So already we're seeing the parallels between getting uncomfortable with the last article and getting uncomfortable with this article. It's going to be short-term. No one wants to do it, but it's going to provide some sort of benefit. So they talk a little about our ancestors here. Let's read this. So if you have been following me for a while, you may know that I often look at how our ancestors live as a guide. This is a huge discrepancy between how our ancestors experienced the weather and how we experience it. Our current society does not have the exposure to the elements that people did in our ancestors' time. We wake up in temperature-controlled homes, take warm showers, and even drive to work with a comfortable car that has been in the garage all night. Most of us work, live, and spend our time in buildings that maintain a very comfortable temperature. This is much different than what our ancestors did. There were no grocery stores for ancestors to pick up their food. They still had to eat in the wintertime. This meant they had to be out in the elements finding food to survive. While they may be able to stay sheltered during a storm, their food reserves could not sustain them through the entire winter. Even their shelter with the fire going they didn't maintain a perfect 70-degree temperature throughout the winter months. Why it matters. We often think that colder temperatures are not good for our immune system and cause us to get sick. But is this really true? Or is that just a myth? I'll tell you what, I've heard that a lot. You're going to get sick out there. It's so cold. Our bodies have a lot of systems in place to regulate our temperature. Shivering, goosebumps, sweating, changes in metabolism. I think it's good for our bodies to practice using these systems. While I'm not suggesting we put ourselves in danger, frostbite, heat stroke, etc., we do not want these systems getting too lax either. If our bodies never have to challenge these systems, likely they won't work as efficiently and as effectively as someone who uses them regularly. So, I recently watched a docuseries on Disney Plus with a man named Chris Hemsworth. It was called Limitless. And one of the... So basically, just to give you some context, the whole point of the show is him trying to find new ways to lengthen his life and doing things that's going to make him a healthier person overall. And one of those episodes was called Shock, and this is all about extreme temperature exposure. And like this article is saying, we have many systems in place to regulate our body temperature, but oftentimes we're never using them. And if we are, it's only for a brief second. Like if it's really cold outside and you're walking to your car, or if it's really hot outside and you're walking from your car to your house to the air conditioning, we're not using those systems. And when that happens, they start to go into a hibernation phase, and you start to get a pileup of dead white blood cells, and your immune system actually weakens, because those systems are just like any other muscle. When you're not using them, they're going to relax and they're not going to grow. They're not going to strengthen. You have to be able to use those to get them to improve and get going. So we all know that engaging our muscles by moving our bodies is extremely important. When we expose ourselves to colder temperatures, we engage a whole different set of muscles called the erector pili muscles. These muscles give us goosebumps. In order to engage these muscles, we must have a bit of cold exposure. So when you're first starting out, just a bit will work. And as you become tolerant of that, you have to keep increasing and progressively overloading the amount of cold that you get. Our bodies benefit from cold, back to the article here, our bodies benefit from exposure to both cold and warm temperatures. Benefits are seen with more extreme temperature exposure in terms of mitochondrial function, immune system, how we store fat, inflammatory levels, hormone production, cardiovascular system, improved blood sugar regulation, and detoxification. Wow, that is a lot. So, first of all, my first time doing a cold plunge, it was in my pool. It was the first really cold week of the year, and it was like somewhere in the mid to low 50s, and when I got in, I was freaking out. Shivering lasted about 1 minute, maybe at the most. I might be being generous to myself, but it wasn't a long experience. I was very uncomfortable, and all I could think about was getting out. So I gave in. I got out. And I was mad at myself too, because I know I wasn't getting the full benefit. I wasn't going all the way up to my neck. I didn't soak myself completely. So I didn't experience all of the benefits of that. But then as I started to do it more and eased into it, I started taking cold showers. I started doing stuff like that. And as I started getting more cold, I became very much more tolerant to it. So you can build your tolerance to uncomfort, to discomfort over a prolonged period of time. Now, getting in, it isn't that bad. The other day, it was like 50 degrees, and I got in, I was pretty fine. I've done it when it's been in the 40s. I've done it when it was in the 30s. I did it when my pool was frozen over and had to break into it to get in. And, well, I wasn't really accustomed to that level of discomfort, so that didn't last very long. But still, I would never have been able to do that the first day. So if something's uncomfortable in the moment, you have to realize that over time, your body's going to start using these systems and strengthen those systems to control your breathing, to control your blood flow, to control your mind, strengthen your mind in those situations. Plus, nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to get into really cold water. It stings. You're shivering. So that is motivation in itself, for me at least. If no one else is doing something, that only makes me want to do it even more. I want to do something that no one is willing to do. So, there's a reason for you to do it. How to experiment with extreme temperature exposure. Listen to your body. Talk to your doctor. Go for a walk. Give yourself a burst of cold water. Okay, so I like this one. Giving yourself a burst is the best way to start because, you know, if you're not used to it, it's good to start to introduce it to your body before you just soak yourself in 32-degree water. Try turning the temperature down right at the end of your shower. To begin with, start by using the water to a slightly cooler temperature for a short duration of time. As you get used to this, turn the temperature even more to the extent of duration of the experience. Over time, aim for the coldest temperature you can handle for 45 to 90 seconds. So that's just a cold shower. Once you get that done and you start getting comfortable with that, find a way to take ice baths. Find a way to get as cold as you possibly can for 2 to 3 minutes. Because I looked this up. I think 11 minutes a week for a total of 11 minutes per week with at least 2-minute sessions will get you all the benefits of the ice baths, which include developing brown fat, speeds up muscle recovery, boosts your metabolism, tons of benefits, including mental ones. Like, it helps with anxiety, it helps with depression, it helps with productivity, it gets you going throughout the day, it wakes you up instantly. It's a lot of stuff like that. And then saunas do the same thing, but in the opposite side, on your heat shock proteins that it releases. That'll give your bloodstream the clean through that it really needs. And here's some more benefits of it. Oh, wait, never mind. This is blocked. Oh, well. But this is a doctor writing this, so she knows what she's talking about. And being able to experience these benefits will make you better. So how can I tie that back in getting uncomfortable? Extreme temperatures, both hot and cold, are very uncomfortable to humans. But they make you better. They will improve in some way. Same with everything in your life. Everything that you're doing that feels extremely uncomfortable in one moment will be the strength you have in the next. What you're willing to do today that others aren't willing is going to be what you're able to do tomorrow that others can't. Recognize that. Detach from everything spinning around in your head right now that this discomfort is going to end me, because it's not. What's going to end you is the quitting. Don't quit. Move forward, push through, and become the highest level of yourself. The only way to do this is by getting uncomfortable. So I recommend you get uncomfortable today. And that is all I have. Thank you all very much for listening. If you're a fan of this podcast, make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheGoalIsSwole. Send us a message, anything you want to say. We're open to listen. If you want to come on this podcast, shoot us a message. We'll get it worked out. If you'd like some merchandise, shoot us a message. We'll get it worked out. Questions, comments, or concerns, shoot us a message. We'll get it worked out. We're also on Snapchat. If you'd like that, just send a message. We'll get it worked out. And if you want to join that path, if you want to be on the swole is the goal grind, it's not too late. But the clock is ticking. With that being said, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see y'all next time. Signing out, swole is the goal. Size is the prize. Out.
This is LNE Radio. Podcasts produced, performed, and edited by the students of LNE Studios at Leander High School. LNE Radio, it's what the kids are talking about.